Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Everybody, welcome back to the show for yet another episode where we talk mad shit on a few things, but also provide some good witchy info.
What we're here for.
That's what we're here for. That is what we provide the people. So, anyways, today, as you can tell from whatever the title is about, Lindsay and I are going to be talking about why it is that people struggle so hard, people being us.
Yes.
To ask for help. What trauma, what wounds are being pressed on when we are in need of help and we won't ask for it? And even when it's offered, we feel bad accepting it.
I know, right? Do you want to tell everyone why this came up, what you did today?
Well, originally we were going to have like a totally different topic for today, but I just didn't sit down and, like, you know, plan everything out the way that I wanted to. So I'm got this package at the front door. It's my balcony furniture that I ordered. I wasn't expecting it until Friday, actually. It gets here and I'm like, fuck, I need to put that together. I can't just sit here and work and dilly-dally. Then when I say dilly-dally, I mean work. That's dilly-dallying to me. I can't just sit here and do that when there's this massive box that is begging for me to open it and take everything in it apart and start reading directions. I am a sucker for putting furniture together. I'm so, like, I'm gonna, you know what? Fuck it. I'm so good at it. Like, I'm really so good at it. And, like, the thing is, I wouldn't even necessarily say that I enjoy it. It's just, I'm good at following directions for furniture. Like, I can put goddamn near anything together. I really, like, and the hardest thing I put together was this year when I put together my vanity. I had those rolly tracks. That's no joke. That's hard. But anyways, I digress. I brought it upstairs and I started taking everything out and I was like, damn, this is going to be so easy. She was wrong. The narrator
lies
says
we tell ourselves.
the lies. It was not easy because it was one of those things where, like, it tells you you're gonna need two people for this. You're gonna need, y'all, when the universe tells you that you need two people, you don't always have to fucking, like, contest that, okay? Because sometimes you do need two people for certain things. There are certain things that you need the support of another person on, okay? You can't just fucking free ball everything, Brooke. Raw dog in life. Anyway, I digress once more. I take everything, like, out of, like, the shrink wrap or whatever, and I start to get to work. It's one of those things where you just take, like, an Allen wrench and you've got, like, several bolts and stuff. So that's why I thought it was going to be easy. No. All these things have to be held at a certain angle so that they fit together properly. I only have two fucking arms. I have so many scrapes and cuts on my knees now because of the ways I was, like, finessing it, trying to, like, do this myself. I tell Jackson, like, I'm really struggling with this furniture. He's like, well, if you can wait, like, I can help you.
That was a motivator to get it done.
No, yeah, I was like, no, I'm not. I can't wait. You know how bad it would like irk me to know that I got halfway finished and then a bolt stopped me from completing? You know, I'm like, ah, I can't, because now it's all going to be laying out on my balcony. It's unfinished. I want to enjoy it right now. Like, I'm so impatient with that type of shit. And it's impatience with myself, honestly. It's like, I just feel very much like I can do this. Like, I'm not taking no for an answer because I can do this. And like, that's a great attitude to have 97% of the time. My finger, you probably can't tell on Zoom. My fingers are so like fucked up. You can't tell.
They look raw. They look kind of raw.
They're raw. Yeah. Because I kicked ass and I put that damn sectional together and I enjoyed my evening on that sectional and I had dinner on that sectional and I worked on the sectional. And I'm like, imagine if I'd waited. Imagine if I had waited because I couldn't get a bolt in. Like, no, I'm not waiting. I'm just not. And of course I send Lindsay a message because I narrate my day to Lindsay and that's just what I do. And I'm like, damn, you know me. You know, I can't take no for an answer for a lot of things. And I'm very impatient with myself for a lot of things. And when I want something, when something is right in front of me, I very easily could put this together, but, or like, I could do this myself, but it would be easier if I had help. I'm not going to wait for the help. So then I was just like, okay, the episode tonight is just going to be like, about the struggle of asking for help and what in the fuck, like what is with our society? What's like with the societal expectations around women asking for help? You know, right. there's a lot of it to unpack here, and it all came from some patio furniture.
Your voice message, like, I don't know why I thought this was a good idea. Like, I have to hold this like this. And I'm like, oh my God, what has she gotten into? And especially just after your friend left, like me over here, assuming your friend was just there helping you. And you're like, no, free ball in this one. Like, what are you doing?
She even offered to help me carry all the pieces. Cause this is another thing. The box that it came in was massive. It was like 5 feet tall. And
shit.
I knew immediately. I was like, okay, there's a coffee table in here and there's a sectional in here. Like, I had to open the box downstairs and carry each individual piece up 3 flights of stairs.
Holy shit. Okay. So, I didn't know that. That's just a workout. Just write it off as a workout for the day. You got in leg day.
I got my steps in. I got my freaking steps in. And she was like, are you sure you don't want me to like help you open that and like carry stuff up? And I was like, oh, it's not going to be that big of a deal. You don't got to do that. You got a 2-hour drive ahead of you. Like, don't worry about it. Narrator, she was wrong. Like, yeah, I could have had help in that moment, but I just, it's like this overwhelming feeling of like, I don't want to burden anybody.
Right. I can tell you where mine comes from, and I'm trying to heal my way out of it right now. But I think, you know, I understand now why my parents and teachers were like so short with me, because life is a lot, especially with kids around. And there comes a time when like mom and dad need time out. And I think back then in like the 90s, adults just didn't know how to emotionally regulate. So they would just be so impatient with us. I mean, this is still a common thing. It's just more talked about now. I hope more people are choosing to emotionally regulate. So my deep-rooted hyper-independence comes from like two things. First of all, my parents being short with me. And then like, you know, asking for a drive somewhere or asking for help with something. And they're just so tired of like working corporate and homemaking and all the expectations society puts in them, they just like, okay, fine, you know, and that like deep-seated this guilt in me to ask for help because I felt like I was burdening them. Like there was never like a, okay, mom have like 5 minutes. Like they just didn't even know how to face it and handle it. But then later on, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs can relate to this, is the whole like asking for help is a sign of weakness. Like you have to do everything yourself to prove yourself. And that was kind of another trauma that happened to me in elementary school, was just the system not being set up to support narrow, spicy people. So mm-hmm. consistently telling you that you're dumb. So in order to make up for that, you just had to be a hard worker, not a smart worker, just a hard worker. And I think that's like another place for hyper independence. It's such a deep rooted trauma. It's mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, like have you looked into it? How's therapy going for you, Brooke? Have you tapped into this with your therapist?
My therapist has known me since I was 17 when my hyper independence began. So yes, yeah. She knows. Emily knows.
Yeah, knows all about it. We should just get her on the show.
Honestly, she's super spiritual. I'm pretty sure she's like a medium. If she ever hears my podcast, she's with the shits. Girl knows some shit. But yeah, she definitely knows. When I try to trace back where I think that my habits like that come from, I want to say that they came from being raised in a household where my grandma empowered me very much as a child. Like she really did. I will never forget this for as long as I live. This one phrase that she would always say my entire childhood was like, anything men can do, I can do better. She always taught me that. And it comes from, you know, that song, anything you can do, I can do better. I can do everything better than you. And she remixed that shit. And she was like, anything a man can do, I can do better. And for her, I know that that comes from like men just repeatedly failing her. Like, not that this is a failure, but her husband died when they were really young. Like she was like 29 or 30 and he was a few years older, and he had a heart attack in his sleep and died right beside her. So she raised, yeah, dude. And when you think about like 30, holy shit.
So like, young.
Right? And it's like, oh my God. Like, I mean, I've heard freak health accidents like that happening at really young ages. Like I think I heard recently somebody who was like at JMU, like my college, like actually 26, 27, something like that, like had a heart attack and died or something like that. It's just like, just people, some people have like bad hearts, but like she never got remarried. She raised both of her children on her own. She worked like a man, like her entire life. Like she worked really hard jobs, like factory jobs and like jobs with like a lot of harsh chemicals. And like, she kicked ass and she never got remarried. I don't even think, like my whole entire childhood, she never had like a boyfriend or anything. Like even when she was like in her late 50s. And I just kind of think that my habits come from, you know, being raised with a woman and just subconsciously knowing like she does everything alone, and she's done that for most of her life. And that's how she taught me to function. And it wasn't really like a cold, like, no one has your back, like blah, blah, blah. Like it wasn't like that. It was more of just like a, you got this shit. Like, you can do any, this was another saying, is you can do anything you put your mind to. And she would say like, because you're a girl. And yeah, like, I, even when I was like a little kid, I like didn't even know, I had no fucking idea, you know, what like female empowerment meant. But that was that, you know? And it's just really weird that it translates into adulthood as like, the negative aspect of it is like, I'm in denial about needing help. About anything, ever.
Yeah, I'm losing sleep and overexerting myself and drained because I don't know how to ask for help. And Oh man, like when I was the last time I was in school, which was like, what year is it? 4 years ago or 5 years ago, my mentor who owned the school, she's like, I know that if you have a question, you legit could not find the answer because she's like, you will literally Google the shit out of it and ask everyone else at the school before you come bug me, kind of thing. And I'm like, yeah, because you got shit to do running a school. Why am I bugging you? But like, also, I was like, yeah, this is probably also a problem because I don't know how to work with a community. But I was thinking about your grandma, like that attitude that she took on, she didn't have a choice. You know what I mean? Like, it came from, like, I know some people who, for example, saw codependency, like the other extreme unhealthiness of codependency. And they're just like, I'm gonna choose not to be like that, but take it to the extreme. Whereas there are a lot of women who it's a choice. Those, sorry, there wasn't a choice. There wasn't a choice there. And that's the other thing. I think there's this weird stigma going around. I felt it the last 10 years. It could have been going on for longer. The whole like, I don't need no man. I don't. And then this pressure put on women that we have to be and do everything and not rely on our community. And don't get me wrong, some people can't rely on their community, like straight up. We'll talk about toxic families, but yeah, I mean, so throwing it back to you, you said it started in your teens. You don't have to tell everything if it's like too much, but like,
Oh no, it's nothing like it's nothing traumatic, to be honest. It's just like I don't really remember why I like wanted to move out at 17. I mean, 'cause like I know that we've spoken on here like about, when I was younger, like Liz and I'd lived together, and that was like the first time we lived alone was like with each other. And it just like I just never went back. And in retrospect, I mean, she never, my grandma, she would have been glad if I'd lived with her for the rest of my life. Like, she very much is not one of those people that's like, get out of my house. Like, I don't want, and like, and that's saying something because, like, she's my grandma. Like, she adopted me and her and my dad raised me. And then my dad died. And then she was just like left to take care of me. And you would, in a lot of other people's stories, they aren't that fortunate. They don't get like a loving grandparent. Sometimes they get an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent that really doesn't fucking want them and makes it known. And they're very resentful of the fact that they have this whole person to take care of during their retirement. And she was never like that. So I really don't know why. I mean, I'm sure teen angst and like, I just want to get out and do what I wanted because I was like 17, 18 years old, whatever. I don't regret it at all because like, I learned a lot of things at that age that my friends didn't learn till they were like 24, 25. Like, I learned it super early. Taxes, deposits, fucking like, inspections, all types of shit. I learned so early, depending on how you want to look at it. Like, I did that, or it was my fault, whatever. I don't really like it, both sides of the coin there. But like, what's really weird to me is the fact that when I think of how much stuff my grandma did by herself, in my childhood, like, she could build anything. She could plant and grow anything. She still probably could. Like, she's smart as shit. She could make anything, bake anything, cook anything. I can't think for the life of me any time that she felt comfortable asking anybody. And she had, like 15 siblings, like,
Oh my God.
and yeah, and like, she wouldn't ask until maybe one of them was in the house watching her like try to remount like a new kitchen cabinet or something, and they'd be like, Peggy, let me help you. And she'd be like, no, but she would take a step back and be like, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. Like, I just I just can't get this one thing. And like, but she'd never call anybody up or go to someone's house and be like, I need someone stronger than me to do this. Or like, I need another pair of hands. And I mean, damn, she's got like 10 fucking brothers, you know, right? And so many sisters. And I'm like, and the community we grew up in, like everybody lives within 2 minutes of each other. Nobody freaking left. So it's like everybody, and you know what they're doing? They're probably all at their fucking houses, hyper independently operating without her. Like, that's how they all grew up. The whole family, the whole freaking family. And you know what? I know where that comes from. That comes from watching their mother raise 15 children practically on her own because their dad died. Like,
what's it with the dads going? The dads, do you have a family curse? Like some practical magic thing going on?
Well, it seems like a lot of the men and that's like a very Southern-y kind of thing. Like a lot of the men had like heart issues that were related to like cholesterol and not eating healthy. And, you know, cause a lot of people in the South cook with like a lot of fat and like a lot of salt and butter. I do think that runs in on the like male genetic side of the family. My dad had cancer that was like caused by him literally smoking cigarettes from the age of 11. Like, bro, dad, you did that to yourself.
What'd you expect, buddy? Rest your soul, but.
What'd you expect, Robert? What if something just fell off a wall?
Wait for it. I'm just waiting for something to fly across the room.
He's just like, don't you talk shit on me.
Haunting you.
I just heard a tap on the wall.
Oh that God, I just got neighbor. Chills. Okay, but still.
I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry. Please don't poltergeist later tonight. Thank you.
Oh my God. He's over here just like, you're using my name for some listens on a podcast? Who do you think you are?
Oh, he'd like, be so proud. Come on.
You know what? I definitely think that he would. And like, my dad was one person. I never hesitated to ask him for help. But that's like, aww. I think that's the last male, like, or that's the only male figure that I had as a kid to ask anybody to ask for help, period. I asked my grandma for help constantly, and she asked for my help constantly. But in adulthood, she doesn't ask me for anything. Like, I tell her all the time, like, you can call me up. And like, if you need help painting, like, this woman has cancer, Lynn's. Like, she's got cancer, and it's her whole body is like eaten up with it. And she still won't call me to tell me like that she needs like help repainting the living room. I'm like, this is your time. You need to lie down. She, you know, like she's very much like not in acceptance of that. And
she didn't want to rest. It could be that she's running from like her own mind. I find a lot of hyper independence also comes from running from your own thoughts. So you have to be like busy all the time, and you're not going to wait around for anyone, and you're not going to go on anyone else's schedule. Like, I've seen that in some people too.
Yeah, definitely like not being on anybody else's schedule. I don't like that at all. And that, I think that also ties into being like a little tiny bit. Sometimes I can be, depending on the person, a little bit of a control freak, because I can just kind of sense when like, okay, one of us has to be the alpha here and it ain't gonna be you. So let's be real.
Like, you ain't taking charge.
No, like, you're not getting us through the airport. You're not finding where we're gonna eat tonight. Like, let me handle. Like, there's certain, I can do it. But it's like, at what point does like I can do it turn into like I can do it alone? And when does that turn into I can do it alone, but I don't have to? I can do it alone, and I know I don't have to, but I don't care. I don't know. There's a lot of things I look back and I'm just like, I could have asked for help with that. But like, at least I proved to myself I could do it alone, you know?
There, there is the pride, like I told you earlier about your outdoor set. Like there is the pride of at the end of it. It's like a dopamine hit of that's mine. I did that. I made this happen. And it's not an unhealthy thing. It's a really good feeling. But like you said, few years ago, I came to the point I was in a relationship where he didn't want to further anything. He didn't want to live together. Like he wasn't really there for me. It was a very lonely relationship. And I was like, I'm the loneliest I've ever been. And I'm dating someone. And then between that and getting out of it, it's like, I could do this all by myself, but I probably shouldn't be because I'm burned out. And like, I'm living a life for two people when it's just me. So yeah. You do get to a point where you burn out and you're kind of like, I mean, I don't know about your grandma. I think she's the Energizer Bunny and she's going to go until the day she does. Like that was a huge, huge thing with moving in here with Corey is he noticed too. And he's like, can you give me things to do? Because giving up that, it's like you're giving up your power. And there's these stigmas like now around women, like, oh, if you give up your power to a man, like I understand in abusive situations, that's obviously not healthy. But if it's like all there's all green flags and homie is like good for you and a good person and it's healthy, it's taken me a lot to be like, okay, well, he finally vacuumed. He was a day late, which it's just like choking on my own pride. It's like you needed to do it on Thursday. Why did you do it Friday? How dare you? But you know, like relying on your partner to take care of things, like yeah, I throw in the laundry, he folds it, like finding our little system, it was very, very, very hard for me. And you think that man knows how to fold my socks and underwear? God no. But like he folds my underwear like little tortellini wraps. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. But like that's how he shows he loves me. And that's really sweet. But at the like, there's just, I think it's an OCD thing. It's like, you got to let it go because like they're trying their best, but it took me a lot. It was like, I had so much anxiety being like, okay, I've been dating this person almost a year and now I'm moving in with them. And oh no, just big, oh no. But it took a lot of work and being like, got to be patient. You know, and that's the thing. Like I'd say this summer, especially with the move, I just started joking around and being like my sister be like, oh, I'm going to carry this. Like me and my sister and him would be going to my parents' house. This is an example. And she's like, oh, I'm going to carry this in. And it's like a heavy thing. I'm like, no, make him do it. We got a man around. We got to utilize it.
I love that. And yeah, I 100%. Like, we got a man around. You do it.
Yeah, I mean, granted, there's a few things, like he hasn't mounted the TV yet, and he was supposed to help me with my float and shelves, but he works four jobs, so I can forgive it, plus I should, like, you know, be like, we should schedule a time to finish the apartment, but he's a good guy with, like, he's got a good heart, and he's, you know, his head and his heart are in the right place, but that was scary, too, like, can we talk about, like, coming out of fucking dud relationships where it forced us into hyper independence because we couldn't rely on our partner for anything. Oh my God. Like that's a whole other, like between childhood and teen years and entrepreneurship and then just like choosing men that were not mature and not good for you, it forces you into this like, I can do it all, but I have so much anxiety and I am so tired. It's really like, is it a badge of honor or just it's a badge of trauma? That's all it is, really.
Yeah precisely.
Yeah,
it's like, what is it, it's like that, God, who sings it? I don't know if it's Selena Gomez, I don't know who it is, but there's a song that it's a pop song and it goes like, one of the lyrics is like, I mean, I could, but why would I want to? I don't remember who sings it. Listeners will know, you guys, y'all will know, y'all get it, but like that's exactly how it feels sometimes. Like that's how I want to operate. Like I would like to operate from a space of, I'm just like, I can just like call up a man and I can just like tell him to do it. And it's like, dude, even today, like I asked, so I'm going to a Renaissance fair this weekend. And obviously I've got a little dog. Like I'm not going to leave her in the crate for 8 hours. If like that's the case, then I'm just not gonna go because I'm like, the fuck, hell no. So, you know, I was sitting here, I'm just like, who can I ask? Who can I ask that I feel comfortable like giving my key and I can just ask them just to come let her out like maybe twice. Like, cause then I'll be home by then. So they can let her out twice. And obviously, like I can ask my boyfriend. That's like, you know, who I'm supposed to ask. And then I'm thinking like, God, I don't want to make assumptions. Like, I don't, you know, what if he's, you know, working this weekend or he's got plans or something this weekend. And so I asked another person as a backup plan first. And then I asked him and I told him, I was like, yeah, like I'd prefer if like you watched her during the day. Or like, I'm not even going to be gone that long, but I'm like, I'd prefer if you watched her, but like, I get it. If like you're busy or like you've got blah, 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 you know, damn well knowing like if the situation was reversed, I would drop everything and like watch his pet. And he was like, of course I'll watch her. Like, even if I had plans, like I would have canceled them. He was like, I think you just need to start telling me what to do. And I'm like, you say that now.
Yeah.
But then the second that I'm like, go hang my 70-pound vintage mirror, then it's I need tools for that and I need this and that. But even still, I'm just like, oh, it was that easy. Like, I overthought that so hard. And I was over here like, I've got plan B, C, D, because I'm so uncomfortable asking anybody for anything, any kind of favor. Don't even get me fucking started. Whenever I go out of town or something, like, I feel so bad asking anybody to watch my dog. Like, I feel so guilty. I just feel bad. And it blows because I'm just like, Brooke, you shouldn't feel like that. But I'm also, you know, I also take that to be like, I'm a very responsible pet owner because I'm not going to live somewhere if I can't have her, and I'm not going to go anywhere if like I don't know that she's taken care of. And like, it's that's the responsibility you take on as a pet owner, is like when you got to go somewhere that you've got like reliable backup plans and you need to like not be scared to secure that safe space for your pet when you leave town or whatever. But it's just like, it's the worst. I feel so bad. You call somebody up and you're just like, hey, how are you doing? Are you gonna be home this weekend?
Yeah, it's like, I know that you're busy and you have a life, but like, can you do this thing for me? But I think that's also like, you're worried like that it might, this is another part of it. Like you're worried it might be like a narcissistic trait. Like, do I only like contact people when I want something from them? Because that's what they do, right? And it's like, yeah. You're just like worried it might be like a little form of narcissism like buried inside of you. That's another thought I've had. Like, oh yeah, especially if it's someone you haven't spoken to in like a few months. And then man, like my therapist helped me work over that, because I mean, people can just say no, you know, and it's like, okay, cool, love you, hope you're doing good. But then where was I going with this? Oh, it's like, but when you do ask people, like some people love to feel like they have a purpose and they can be of service, right? Mm-hmm. So some people are totally cool with it. But yeah, that guilt, it lays heavy on whatever the hell happened to us.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, oh God, I don't know. I'm trying to think back in time, you know, maybe part of where it comes from is like, my grandma really would go above and beyond for people, but there were also times in my childhood where there were certain favors she did for people that she would complain about forever. And like, it'd be, you know, she'd be to their face, she's like, I don't mind, it's not a big, like anytime. And then she'd be like, God damn it, I don't know why I let people walk all over me. Like, I don't know why I offered my time or my home or whatever the hell, get the hell out, you know, just like very,
oh, shit.
Yeah. Like she would be very candid with me and just be like, I don't know why I even opened my mouth. I don't even know why I offered. I should have never done that. I should have never offered. I think that might be like the fear in me where I'm just like, Oh, I don't want anybody to feel that way about me, so I better not ask nobody for shit.
Them talking shit about you behind your back. Like they take Mia and then all of a sudden, like, God damn, Brooke going on her little adventures, yes. Dumping her dog with me, and I'm such a people pleaser and I don't know how to say no, which like you're clearly your grandma was probably a lot like. Just wants everyone to like her. It's deeply rooted in there's the givers and the takers, you know? And it's like you just don't want to be a taker because you're a giver. And the givers, like, they need to stop giving, dear God. Oh,
yeah,
grandma.
Yeah. That, oh, God, I always think that. I'm just like, I don't want anybody to take Mia because they feel like they have to. And then they're just mad at her the whole week because it's my dog and I went off to Portugal. Just like, bro, I'd take her with me if I could. Shit.
That's why I would feel like, yes, flying with dogs, though, is something else. But, like, at that point, I'd just pay for, like, a professional pet sitter. I'd be like, here, take my money. Like, yeah. I feel guilt-free paying someone to do a service than, like, asking a friend, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I've been thinking about that recently. It's like, what am I going to do when I, like, well, I want, you know, next year I want to go for, like, 2 weeks to, like, Greece. And I'm like, okay, 2 weeks is a long time. So I don't feel comfortable asking any of my friends. I know that I feel like some people would be like, that's not that bad. But then I know other people would be like, 2 weeks is a long time to feel like you can't do anything with your life because you've got like a tiny dog to take care of. So I'm kind of considering, like, I've got a friend who has started like a pet sitting business.
There you go.
And I'm just like, okay, I wouldn't feel bad paying someone. I've never put her in a kennel or anything like that, but it's just like, I don't know. It's so weird how I'll ask for a little, like, and it's once in a blue moon that I'll ask for a favor like that from a friend. Like I'll ask, but I will ask for my dog quicker than I'd ask for like a place for me to stay. If I was going to like a city where somebody I knew lived, like I would not feel comfortable ever in a million years calling me and like, hey, I'm in town. Like, can I stay with you next weekend? Like certain friends, yes. But there's people that's like, I ain't talked to them in years. Fuck no, I'm not going to call you and be like, hey, I'm in Missouri.
Mine right. And I'm sure they'd offer, like in my industry, that's like the golden rule because everyone's like a starving artist.
Yeah, that's true.
So we all need a couch to crash on, but I understand what you're saying. Like it's just like, where the hell did you come from and why do you want to sleep on my couch?
Yeah, it's like, what the hell, you bum, get a freaking hotel or an Airbnb. But like, yeah, I'm just 9 times out of 10 I'm like, I would actually rather get a hotel or an Airbnb. Like I don't really want to, I don't know, it's just there's so many things that go into it. The fear of like being a burden, pride, fear of someone secretly saying yes to your face and then shit talking you and being like, they ask for too much, like blah, blah, blah. It just
like the fear of being stupid. That was like, cause I was, the school system made me think I was stupid when I actually should have been in a gifted school. So like, instead of like, because the kids used to make fun of me because I asked so many questions and the way it was taught was like not for my brain, so then they just tell me I was stupid and I think, oh man, I just unlocked that, thanks. You can bill me for therapy later.
No.
Oh, it's true though. And it's like, it, oh, trauma's a fucking hell of a bitch. But yeah, like there's so many reasons like asking for help is hard. I think also just like, I don't know if like many people can relate to this, maybe like when I went back to university at 26, they'd always throw some group projects and no one was into it. Granted, I was 26 and everyone was 19 and that was just like a huge leap. So like I would end up doing the whole group project by myself because I couldn't rely on those kids. But then being in bands, being the only woman in bands, and like the guys just like consistently letting me down and leaving everything on me to get it done, because I don't know what it is with these neurospicy men and deadlines. No offense to my neurospicy friends who are men, but like, you know, and I'm over here with like these structure deadlines, like, ah, you know, so it's like, you kind of take it all on because you want to succeed, but you know, the people around you shouldn't be weighing you down. but it just gets to the point where also you get tired. Like if you're around the wrong people, you get tired of asking. Mm-hmm. That's the other one where it's just like, I've asked you to do this 5 times and you clearly don't give a shit. So I'm just going to do it all myself. And that's like the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to fucking do it myself. If you want something done right, get it done yourself or do it yourself. Like that. That's very hyper independent.
Oh God. Why do you think I'm a solo artist? I can't be in bands anymore.
For this reason alone. I feel that. I absolutely feel it. That's like why I'm never going to go in business with anybody, like friends, like, you know, for like my personal business. I dilly dallied in that. And it's just not for me. It just, you know, so I don't like to ask, period. So if I got to ask twice, I'm going to be kind of bitchy. Most people would they ask 3 times and then they'd get bitchy? No.
No, twice. It's just like, write it down, organize yourself, have a to-do list. Like, it's not that hard. It's not that
have
hard.
Have a to-do Why list like the rest time? Of us. Like, don't fucking, to me, you know what that says to me is like, if you don't do something the first time I asked and I got asked again, to me, what you're saying to me is, I value my time. Like, no, excuse me. You don't value my time or energy to get something done as much as you value your ability to do whatever the fuck you want on everybody else's like timeline or, you know, it's everybody like, else's bill. It's annoying.
It's like disrespect to the paycheck too. Because it's like they are paying your way. Like they're the reason you have a roof over your head and food in the fridge. And it's just like, nah, can't be arsed, even though I'll gladly take your money, but not do what you asked me to do. What? What is wrong with you?
Well, right now I'm going to drop in this week's moon moments. Enjoy. All right, we're back for another moon moment with Brooke. Second week in a row, okay? I'm on this, like wet on rice. So this week, this Friday, the moon is in Virgo. The energy has shifted towards practicality, organization, attention to detail. So you guys are going to harness the Virgo moon's influence by focusing on grounding yourself, refining your routines, and just taking care of your well-being. So I've got a few things to pass along to help you harness this energy. The first thing we're going to do in true Virgo fashion, we are going to get organized. We're going to declutter and cleanse. So if you are on your way to work, listen to the podcast, you better know that as soon as you sit down at that desk, you better declutter all those little notes, all those like plastic bottles, the stickies, the candy wrappers or whatever is around your desk, cluttering your area, cleanse it, get rid of it, clean it. This goes for digital devices too. Lindsay just recently went through our inbox and she deleted all the garbage and it's amazing. It feels so light, like digitally, I feel like that bitch. I feel light as a feather. Tidying up can just really create this sense of clarity and peace. And that's perfect energy for today. So that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna plan to declutter and cleanse and we're gonna prioritize that. In addition to prioritizing cleanliness and declutterization, I don't know if that's a word, but I'm making it right now. This is a good day to plan out next week. So if you want to make some to-do lists today, you want to set some practical goals, the Virgo moon supports you there in making your detailed plans and breaking down your big task. I can't talk, guys. Your big tasks, not your big ass. Your big tasks into manageable steps. That's what we're going with. The second thing we're going to talk about is health and wellness, focusing on health and wellness during the Virgo moon. So again, revamping, we are cleansing, we are decluttering our daily routine. So maybe you can consider looking a little bit closer at your daily habits. Well, is there anything you've been doing this week that you're just like, okay, it's time to get back on the wagon,
got to start my, you know, if you've been thinking about starting a new exercise regimen or you're trying to be more diligent about like your self-care evening practices, the Virgo moon is going to help you with some good old lunar energy to really enforce that mind-body connection, to help you practice mindfulness in your health routine, whether it's through yoga or being more conscious of what you're putting in your body. It's just an excellent time to focus on your overall well-being and just take a little bit closer look at what you are doing on the daily that may have become a habit that maybe you didn't want to become a habit. It's time to pay attention to details. So if you've got any ongoing projects or tasks, you've got any big deadlines at work, you can use the energy of the Virgo moon today to just try and spot some little areas that need improvement. Review and refine. We're really going to be just dialing into our craftsmanship, being real precise with our work and our hobbies and our daily tasks, just doing things with precision, doing things like we give a damn, okay? This energy really is going to just support whatever you're working on by helping you, giving you the energy to put in extra care into your projects, into your creative endeavors, whatever it may be. And of course, you know, when we're thinking about helping other people and how the moon can help us help others, any acts of service, Virgo energy is all about being of service to others. So if you're looking for some ways to help some people around you, maybe this weekend your friend might need some help moving. Maybe they're going through a rough time and they could really just use like a listening ear or just like a hug or just someone to like veg out on the couch with. This Virgo energy that you can tap into that I'm talking about is going to help you with that. It may help you to be more focused on them, be more focused on someone besides yourself, and just offer practical help and kindness where it's needed. This weekend is a great time to focus on self-improvement. Where can you further your personal growth? Do you want to pick up a new skill, a new hobby? You want to read a self-help book? You want to set intentions for your own improvement? Do you want to journal about your goals, reflect on areas you can grow and improve? This moon is going to help you to just really be more introspective and make constructive changes. So we're cleansing, we're improving, we are refining and redefining. You hear me, witches? And of course, your affirmation, your Virgo moon-inspired affirmation. I honor my well-being and embrace the beauty of simplicity and order in my life. Thanks for coming to another moon moment. Back to the episode.
Hope you took away some good energy. Can't remember where the moon is at, actually, now that I think about it. I recorded that 2 weeks ago, so enjoy.
Well done.
Thanks. It's so funny to me. I don't know when I'm going to get over laughing at that. Like, the just, I'm going to drop it in.
Good, though. But I like the little addition of it. Help me. I wasn't expecting it. Anyway.
You're welcome. What I was going to say is, instead of an Ostara egg for this episode, and only do this if you're comfortable, but I would like to request that if you got this far in the episode, go to either our Facebook or Instagram page and this episode's photo or this episode's post, comment below and tell us what you think has affected your levels of independence or dependence, period. And again, you do not have to if you aren't comfortable, but I'm just interested to know. I know there's probably tons of like super hyper independent people who listen to this show, and you probably practice alone because you don't know how to ask for the assistance and help of other witches, and you probably wish you were in a coven, or maybe you don't. Maybe not. Guilty. I wish I was.
Bro, me too.
I'm telling you. It'd be nice. It'd be nice, you know, to just dance naked around a fire in the forest with a bunch of other witches. But I'm too scared to go find them.
What if they don't show up? What if they make me do all the work?
What if they make... Do you want to conjure? Do you want to manifest or not? I'm fucking tired of doing all the work.
What do you mean you didn't bring all the correspondence? What's wrong with you? This is why we can't be
I'm
an accountant.
tired. I'm tired of bringing all the fucking herbs. I bought the coriander last time. You bring the fucking quartz crystals next time, bitch. My back hurts.
Like this is solidifying me finding a coven. It ain't
Literally.
happening. No, can't be done.
I would love to go to like an in-person like witch like function, something like that. Like I know Veronica Varlo has them like every year. And they seem like
Ooh.
really cool. Like they're like retreats or something. I'm like, oh, that seems so cool. And then I'm just like, I would have to go with somebody because going and meeting up with like a bunch of people that I don't know makes me nervy, as it should, because murderers and serial killers and kidnappers.
Yeah, just got to be aware of those things. I same thing where I moved, the witches fixed. They had a summer solstice thing, and I wanted to go, and then the spots filled up, and then I saw footage from it, and they're all in like white dresses, and I'm like, I don't even have a white dress. I wouldn't have met the dress code.
It's like what? What was the fucking okay? Well, you probably would have had the memo in time.
I just would have showed up in a white bed sheet. Like, let's go, witches. My
A
toga.
fucking toga party, toga party, toga party.
That's my contribution. Oh, it's a disaster. But yeah, I've had a buddy to go with. I might not feel as like weird about it.
Maybe we should find a retreat. Witches, should we find a retreat? Tell us. Should we make a,
Tell
you
us.
know what? One day, I'm going to speak this into existence. One day, we're going to have a witchful thinking retreat.
Oh, that would be so great. Okay, this needs to happen. I don't know where and when, but when it's meant to be, we'll be there.
Oh my God, that reminds me of Ethel Cain's song. When she goes, if it's meant to be, then it will be. And she goes, ah.
Oh yeah, thanks for sending me that album, by the way, about serial killers.
Oh
Greatly
my God.
appreciated.
Oh, please tell me. You know what? I don't even gotta ask this because I know we've got some Ethel Cain listeners. You are not a witch and not listening to Ethel Cain. There ain't no way. And if you're a witch and you've never listened to Ethel Cain, listen to Ethel Cain and thank me later because nothing will hit you in your bones deeper than Thoroughbred and House of Nebraska and
Oh, yeah.
Strangers, Gibson Girl. Ugh.
All of it. Just all of it. Especially you girls, but you boys and theys with the religious trauma. Preacher's daughter. Oh no. Oh no.
Yes. Oh, that just gave me chills. Yeah, you are so right. We get so many listeners who talk about like their religious trauma and they resonated so much with like our episodes on what was it? What the hell was that episode name? It was not like fist pumping for Jesus, grinding for Jesus. That's what
Grinding
it
for
was.
Jesus.
Grinding for Jesus. We've gotten so many people that have been like, "Oh, I found the podcast and I felt like so understood because as someone who practices now and like used to was raised very religious, Ethel Cain will just strike you fancy. And yes, I am fucking versatile. It's called range. It's called taste. I can be wearing a Pink Pony Club shirt and crying to Ethel Cain the next. Eat me.
It's called being eccentric. Look it up.
It's called taste and learn about it.
Oh, just wait until I get you in a heavy metal. Then you're going to be very well rounded.
Well, I used to listen to metal in high school, but then I grew out of it because I felt like I was only doing it because I wanted to like seem cool to like these boys that I like kind of liked. They were very like emo, and then I was like, "What the fuck?" I only listened to like, I wouldn't even say it definitely was not heavy metal. It was like, I won't even tell you, I'm embarrassed.
Okay, when you said that, you're like, but then I grew out of it. I was like, you'd be like, well, then I grew up because listening
Listen
to
to
metal
metal.
is.
That's childish.
Sorry, you're 22 now. You need to grow up and stop listening to metal.
No, I just stopped listening to it because I knew I was only doing it to like impress a stupid boy. And I'm like, girl. But then I was listening the other night to some of the songs that I listened to as like a young angsty girl. And I was like, damn, like I still know all the words to this. Like, oh my God, Oliver Sykes. Like I thought I was so hardcore for listening to Bring Me the Horizon, Get the Fuck Out, and like
They're like
Asking
the pop
Alexandria.
of metal. Oh my God, that's all like pop metal at this point. I'm talking about like
They don't
Cannibal
even
Corpse and
scream
extreme stuff.
anymore.
I don't know. They don't even
Oliver.
scream anymore.
They don't. Oliver Sykes like blew out his like vocal cords or something, and like now he sings. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, this is not.
Not why I got into you. Why? How dare you change? How
How dare
dare?
you change? Yeah, I'm over here just like, no, you have to be who you always must be. And then on the other hand, I'm like, change is good. We're like butterflies. We transform.
But keep writing the same album that I fell in love
Yeah.
with.
Yeah. I need
Yeah.
you to keep writing the same album that I fell in love with when I was 14. Re reading fan fiction and writing fan fiction on the internet about Oliver Sykes.
Did you really?
I did, and it's probably still out there.
You're one of those. I finally meet somebody who does that.
You bitch. You said you're one of those. You did not just say you're one of those. It was only Bring Me the Horizon and it was only Oliver Sykes. I didn't write it about, wait.
Okay, you're not like one of those Twilight or Harry Potter like fanfic people. Okay, just because like, oh my God, there's some fan bases and they write fanfics like it's heavy in the Motionless in White fan base, and I'm like, oh sweet potatoes, what have you gotten into this time?
Are you in any of them?
No, not yet. I'm just not that cool, or I'm just not that
Well, I
characterable.
don't
I don't
think
know.
you don't want to be, because a lot of them were just like heavily, like it was just all
Smut.
porn. Yeah,
Yeah.
very smutty, very smutty.
Oh, yeah. There was.
I couldn't. I tried. I couldn't. I didn't know how to describe penis.
I mean, it's just, you'd laugh. I would, if I had to like describe that stuff, I would be pissing myself laughing the whole time trying to write it. I'd be like, I don't, unless like we find a way to make this super poetic, I don't know how this is gonna turn out. It's just gonna be a recipe for disaster.
Some people are really
Ugh.
good at it. I remember on the writing website, some people were excellent with it, but like other people, like myself, I just had to like imply that it happened and then move down the chapter and like continue, because I didn't end up, there's only so many ways to say they fucked. Like, what do I look like? 50 Shades of Grey up in here? No, I was 14. I didn't even know what anything looked like down there yet. Geez, I probably barely had one pube. Okay. Chill out.
You and your one pube writing these fanfic.
Literally, it's the second that the first chapter went up, one pube was like, boing!
Oh, I can't. I'm in pain. I can't breathe.
Oh, fuck. Okay, we're gonna end this episode while it's not completely rated R.
We love you guys. Thanks for putting up with us. Don't write fanfics and good luck.
And if you ever need help, good luck, Charlie.
Love, baby.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.